Well, thank God that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That nothing has changed for us. Even though, you know, we got all this stuff going on in the world, nothing's changed. Jesus is still doing his thing. The Holy Spirit's still doing its thing. And there's nothing new under the sun, ever. Everything that's going on is exactly what the Bible said would. And also, it never changes. Man has always been this way, always, from the beginning of time. When Adam sinned, he and Eve sinned, they wanted to be God. They said, you'll be like God. The devil tempted them in that way, that they could know good and evil, that they could know. And that's exactly what's going on right now. It's just, we're just seeing it. It's always been that way, but now we're seeing it more than ever, is that man thinks that he knows what's good and what's bad. And only God knows that. Only God can measure anything. You can't measure anything. You can't measure love. You can't measure the fruit of the Spirit. Only it's the fruit of the Spirit. So you can't measure anything. You can't wake up in the morning and say, check out your love meter. Like Jack can't wake up in the morning and go, hey, you don't know. You can't know any. You don't know anything. Only God knows everything. So the measure of all things is God, and he does everything. Only God, it says in Psalms, only God does wondrous works. So if only God does wondrous works, then only God does wondrous works. Then you can't do a wondrous work. Only God can do it. So you're helpless. And it frustrates us. It makes us mad. At least it does, you know, normal people. I mean, me too. It's just frustrating. Because God, you know, you want to do good, but you can't. So it frustrates you that you can't know good and evil. I don't even know how to love. How do you love somebody who's a sinner? I don't know. Only God knows that. Pastor Jim and I, or any of the elders, they can't teach love. Love is just something that is. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, meekness, goodness. It's all a fruit of the Spirit. So everything we do that's good, that's great, that's lovely in this world, that's wondrous in this world, comes from God. It comes from heaven. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light. So everything we have in this world, family, fellowship with other believers, which is really awesome. Anyway, we had a lot of family stuff going on. My daughter had a baby, and it was really premature, I think 25 weeks. Which is really, really, and it weighed about 2 pounds, and Brendan. Anyway, so they've gone through all this stuff in the hospital and all that good stuff. But the baby's doing great now. He went from really struggling, you know, that little hole that babies have in their heart, it's called a PDI or A or something like that. Anyway, when they're born, it normally closes, but it didn't close. So they had to. They were going to operate, but then they didn't have to. Wow. Because it closed on its own.
Praise God!
And then now he weighs 7 pounds. He still haven't reached his due date yet, because he was due in December, but he was born in August. That's how young. That's how early he was born. But now he's doing great, and they had him on a. I don't understand all the technology, but they had him on a ventilator or whatever to help him breathe and stuff. And then they got him off that. But then they had him on something else, a little tube that goes in his throat that gives him oxygen. And then it started out at 10, which was the highest setting. Then now it's down to 4, and they're almost going to wean him off that so he'll be able to come home. So anyway, it's awesome. So we've been praying for him. It's amazing that all this is going to cost whoever, the insurance company or whatever, $1.5 million.
Wow.
That is a lot.
That is a lot, yeah.
Just to keep him alive for, which I'm glad they did, but they kept him alive for, you know, all these months until his due date. So it's a lot of money. So it's amazing how good God is. He takes all the things of this world and turns it for our good. Even though man is corrupt and wicked to the hilt and only cares about himself. Because men want glory. That's all they want. I mean, and money, if you can get it with money, then great. If you can get it with power, however way you can get your glory, even us. We even though we give glory to God, we just want a little bit of glory ourselves so that we can glory in our flesh. But the Bible says the Spirit quickeneth. That means it gives life. It brings life to us. But the flesh profits nothing. Absolutely nothing. There's no profit in it at all. And we think, and we the things we esteem high in this world, God considers it nothing. If a man thinks he is something when he is nothing, it says in Galatians chapter 6, and he deceives himself. So the whole world lies, is just one big lie. It's just the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. And if you love the world, then you hate God. If you love God, then you hate the world. It doesn't mean you hate people. It just means the things in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. That's all there is in this world. There's nothing else. I know that almost sounds depressing, but it's really not. It's really good for news for us because this world's fading away quickly. But God is the Word of God is eternal and it lasts forever. That's why we read our Bible. That's why we pray every day. That's why we're encouraged. We can encourage ourselves in the Lord because the world's passing away quickly. And it's not like a long time as we count longness. Because God, you know how it says in the Bible, the 1,000 years is one day to the Lord. One day is 1,000 years. So it's really quick. And he said, he's coming, and you read Book of Revelations, the first chapter, and it says he's coming quickly. I know, but to us it's like, wow, man, I'm 60, how old am I? I'm going to be 63 here next month. So, wow. I've been around not as long as you. I'm just a young pup. Pastor Jim's 80. Pastor Jim is 80 years old. Amazing. It's amazing. Wow. And I'm just thinking, man, this should, but really that's nothing. It's just nothing. Yeah. It's just, I can't even, you know, yesterday I was, you know, in junior high or whatever. I mean, I was just a little kid, you know, and now I'm old. You know, my years are, I'm waning. But God is good, so I'm not worried about that because I have eternal life. This life is nothing to me. So if I die tomorrow, then okay, no big deal, because I have life. Jesus said, if you have Jesus, then you will never die. So that I just take that by faith. I'm like, okay, that's awesome, God. That doesn't mean I won't die biologically. That doesn't mean anything, because that's just my flesh. Because, like I said, the flesh profits nothing. Now I'm going to read out of John chapter 7. And then I'm not going to be very long today. I was actually at the other church in Fort Worth. They're having we usually have an Agape Feast. I think it's the first Sunday of every month, where everybody gets together after church and has a meal. But they decided today to have a breakfast.
Oh, wow.
So, just because I was scheduled to come here, they decided to have a breakfast. And I'm just teasing. But it doesn't matter to me. God is good. Okay. I'm going to read just a few verses out of here. But John chapter 7, verse 6. And Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. In other words, we always want everything to be now because we have no patience. We have no patience. Like we're all like little kids. We have no patience for the future. We want everything now. We want God to do everything now. We want to see this now. We want to see. We want to touch. We want to feel. But it's not yet. That's why we live by faith. Because if you have hope in something, which we're saved by hope, the Bible says we are. So we're saved by hope, we're saved by faith, we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're saved by grace, we're washed in His blood from all of our sins. But that's our hope, because we have hope in the future. But if we see it, then we don't have to hope for it. When Jesus comes back, in 1 John, it says that we'll see Him as He is, and we'll be just like Him, because we'll see Him as He is. But that's our hope, that's His future. But what about now? Now, I know it's future. It's interesting to me. I mean, I'm glad that's going to happen and everything. But what about now, God? I got to eat and take care of my family. I got all this stuff, all these problems. Problems, problems, problems. I have all these tribulations, all these things that are going on. So my hope is the anchor of my soul. That anchors my soul. Keeps my soul from being, all over the place. Keeps me from being angry, from being bitter, and because I have a hope. My hope is in Jesus Christ, that He's going to come back. And then I'll see Him, and then everything will be complete. Because I'm groaning inside. I can't even utter it. I can't even say it. And you can't either. No one can. You can't say it because you don't... it's just you're groaning inside. It's the Spirit, but it's the Holy Ghost Spirit inside you, because you want to be clothed with something that's permanent, that's incorruptible. This body's corruptible, right? It's falling apart. I mean, all of our bodies are falling apart little by little. Doesn't mean God doesn't quicken our bodies to keep us going. He does. So, but still, even as great a shape as Pastor Jim's in and I'm in, eventually, it'll wear out. And eventually, your body will just perish. And it's good, because we're actually yearning inside, and we don't even know, because you don't know how to pray as you ought. No one knows how to pray. Everybody says, I'm going to go to class and learn how to pray. You really don't know how to pray. So prayer is something that's eternal. It's something inside. It's something spiritual. The Spirit quickens, the flesh profits nothing. So you're groaning inside to be clothed with that which is incorruptible, that which is eternal, a new body, which is actually Jesus Christ Himself. He's building the house. He's doing everything. And you're doing nothing. All you're doing is, faith. So you're just believing. And it just seems so... Everything in this world seems, in my life and all your lives, seems so... You're just like, you're hanging on by a thread, Everything's so not, nothing's solid in this world except for our faith in Jesus Christ. It's the only thing we have that's solid, and that's the thing we despise the most, the Word of God. There's a psalm that says the wicked, they cast the Word behind them like it's nothing. There's no fear of God. Nobody fears God. Nobody cares about God. Nobody's even interested in God. They're just interested in what the government's doing, what this is doing, who's doing this, who's doing that, and they're interested in their own flesh, meeting the desires of their flesh and all that. And we're all like that, and you can't escape it. It's just your flesh. It's just who you are in the flesh, not in the Spirit, of course, because we're all... But so every day we read our Bible, we get with God, we have to find out who we are every day. Today is the day of salvation. So every day you have to read your Bible. Every day you have to find out what God did, even though you already know it. But you have to go over it every day. Every day I go over the gospel. Jesus, I am a wicked, evil, nasty sinner. God is good and saved me anyway, loves me unconditionally. He cleansed me from all unrighteousness. He's died for all my sins, washed me in His own blood. And then He forgives me of my daily sins. And He gives me my daily bread. He gives me enough bread to last one day. One day. And that's it. Then I got to go. That's because God wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want to just be. He wants to be God. Because He is God. He knows that's better for us too, because He loves us. If we're God, if we glory in our flesh. That's why in the Bible it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it talks about God didn't call the wise of this world. He didn't call the mighty. You know, have you ever noticed that? It's always just some... I used to laugh because sometimes when I was in the charismatic movement or whatever, back in the 80s, most of the preachers were just, you know, country bumpkin kind of guys. I didn't think they knew very much. But that's who God calls, to confound the wise. So God chose us, which is a joke because we're all just regular people. That's why I always tell. And when I went to Africa, I think I went 3 times. But anyway, every time I'd go, they would always think that we were something, and they'd call me Reverend Danny. And me and Marsha would laugh, and they called Marshall the same thing because we knew that we were just regular. I mean, if they knew, they would. And I'd tell them, I'd go, "No, I'm just a regular. I'm not a pastor. I'm nothing." And they think you're something because you're from America, and you're from, especially because you're from Texas, and you carry a gun and all that stuff. So you're awesome to them, but that's just because they didn't know. So you'd have to strip, so to speak, so that they would know you're just a regular person, just like them, exactly like they are. And God has a way of doing that. God has a way of, if you're in love with Jesus and you're growing and you're walking with the Lord, then God has a way of stripping you to where you're nothing. And you would think that would be a negative, or that would be a downer, or that would be something that you get depressed and about, but you really don't. Because then God lifts you up. And it's actually His Spirit. Because the Spirit quickens. And God always quickens you every day. So that when you read the Bible, you're not reading it as a dead letter, as just a something you do, something you... He's just encouraging you. He's just building you up by the Holy Spirit, with the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. Even in the book of James, it says you got to look into the perfect law of liberty. Because the Bible sets you free. The Lord sets you free. But He's not separate from His Bible. He's actually... Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. So this Word is living and active, and it's powerful. It's not a letter. And even if you don't even understand it, when you read it, don't try to understand it or figure it out. People try to do that all the time. Just read it. And then the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, Jesus Himself, will talk to you, and he'll teach you all things. So that you don't, in a way, you do, because the Bible says you do, but you don't need anybody to teach you anything. You can't even teach somebody how to love somebody. I don't even know what love looks like. I can't measure it. I can't do anything. Hey, so I can't measure anything. Nothing can be measured by me. I can't measure love. I can't measure love, joy, peace, meekness, goodness, temperance. I don't know how a plant grows. I don't know how fruit comes on a tree. No one knows that. You can know some scientific stuff, yes. You could know some about botany and biology and all that. But still, people don't know anything. You can't get down to the bottom of anything in this world. And so you just have to trust. That's why you trust in the Lord. Because you don't know anything. I used to try to figure out, gosh, how did I would think about it even, or I would say, okay, if this person says this, and I'll say this, and I'll do this, so that I can, I had to let them know, somehow I got to let them know that they're sinning, but I got to love them. I mean, you just can't figure it out. You just can't figure out how to love people. It's just something, love is from God. God is love. So I just believe by faith that I love my wife as Christ loved the church. But I don't know what that looks like. I have no idea what that looks like. None. I don't even know anything about it. Only God knows that. So I just trust in the Lord. I just keep my eyes on Jesus and hope, and I'm just believing that He's going to work all that out. And I do. And my wife even says sometimes, very rarely, but she might say, hey, you're a good husband or something. I don't know. But that's not me. That must be God or something. Okay, so the world cannot hate you. This is verse 7. Can't hate you, but me, it hates, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. So they hated Jesus, not because he even condemned the world. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. That's what it says. So Jesus wasn't even condemning the world at all. He just came to save it. But because of the way he lived, because of what he did, the healings and all the works he did and all the things he said, even the Pharisees admitted, man, this guy speaks with authority. This guy is awesome. You're not going to gainsay this guy. You're not going to... I mean, he's awesome. And plus, look at all... they couldn't even deny the miracles he did because they were so obvious. So they had to kill him. So that's the same... that's why Cain killed Abel. In the world, everybody has murder in their heart. Everybody. Even us. Apart from Jesus. You just want to... everybody wants to kill. And they act nice on the outside, but everybody actually wants to kill. Especially religious people. Religious people, right underneath the surface of religion is always murder. Because they just want to kill. Anything that's contrary to their belief or contrary to their understanding. Because people just naturally hate. It's just part of being human. People hate. That's just what they do. And the only way you can overcome that is through Jesus Christ. So Christian, as a Christian, somehow, by a miracle, God... you can love people. And I don't even know how that works. I just know it's true. So if I believe it, then it'll be. But if you don't believe it, then you will never love. You just have to believe it by faith. Everything in this world, the just shall live by faith. Everything in this world that we do as Christians is by faith. Apart from faith, it's every work, everything we do is a stench in God's nostril. Because it's not salted. It's not wrought in God. But if our works are wrought in God, then that work is perfect. Even though it's not perfect to us, because we don't know what perfect is. Jesus is perfect. But when you just do it by faith and don't worry about it. I never consider myself ever to do a good work or do a bad work. I don't even know. I'm just trusting in the Lord. So every work I do, if I did a good work, which I don't know if I did or not, which I did, I know I did because the Bible says we do. So, but I can't measure it or think about it or, wow, I did a good work. I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know what that means because I can't measure it. I just take everything by faith. Because Jesus never, hardly ever, we never did to the public. To disciples, he did a little bit, but he just doesn't explain things. He just says things. And that's how God always talks to me every day. He just says something, and it's usually something, one or two words, or just a few words, or a verse, or something, and he never explains it. You love your wife as Christ loved the church. All right, I believe that by faith. He never explains it to me. Well, you did this. You sent her flowers. You did. I mean, it never explains it or tells me what I did or didn't do or what I should do. It just by faith. So you take everything God says, the Word of God, by faith. Because the Bible says when you read the Word changes you. It's quick and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's eternal. I read it not to get understanding. I read the Bible not to have a message. I read the Bible whether I preach or don't preach or whether I'm doing whatever I'm doing. I read the Bible every day. Why? I'm just doing it by faith. And because it changes me, but I don't know how that works. It works by the Holy Ghost. Okay, I got that. But I don't know how the Holy Ghost does it. How is that word quick and powerful? I don't know. When I became a Christian, hey, how you doing? So when I became a Christian, I just heard something in the hearing of the ear. I just heard it. And I believed it somehow. I don't even know why I believed it. I wasn't even thinking about it or wanting to be a Christian or wanting to be anything. I didn't even know anything about the Bible, never read it. So I just heard a word and I believed it. I don't know. The Bible says you must be born again. It says the Spirit goes where it wishes, and you can't hear where, you don't know where it's coming from. You don't even know where it's going. I don't know. And other people heard the same thing and they didn't get saved. But it totally changed. Literally, it totally changed my, not only inwardly but outwardly. My life was totally changed at that moment. I totally believed the Bible was true. Never read it. Didn't know anything about the Bible. I believed the whole thing was true. And I believed God created the world. I believed all that stuff. In an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, I believed all that. But the minute before, a second before, I didn't believe any of that. I didn't know. I was doubting it or not knowing it. So that's the way the Word of God works. It's powerful because it's Jesus Christ Himself. So Jesus, the reason why we read the Bible, because the Bible, just simply because God says to. I pray every day because the Bible says to, not because I'm going to be helped, or I'm going to change the world, or something. And the Bible says the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. I don't know that. I can't measure that or figure that out. But everybody wants something to be something measurable, like love or joy, peace, meekness. But I can't figure. I don't even know why I am joyful every day. I know I do because I read the, you know, I just spend time with the Lord, so I'm joyful. But I don't know. I'm not joyful because I figured it out. I figured some secret out, or so. There's no secret. I don't even know why I'm joyful. I just am, because by faith. And then it actually, I have an experience of it, which is okay. I'm not against that. So I actually experienced joy. I actually experienced Jesus Christ. I actually experienced the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All those things, I experienced all that. But I'm just doing it by faith because I can't measure it. Like people will say things like, oh gosh, that guy really loves the Lord. Or that guy really knows the Bible. Or that guy, blah, blah, blah. You know, they say all these things, but I don't know about, but you can't measure it. I can't say Lynn loves Jesus more than me, or I can't even measure. I don't even know what that's I'm talking about. I can just read the Bible. The love of God is shed abroad in her heart by the Holy Ghost. And that's the end of the story. I don't have to figure it out or try to understand it, or I don't, because I never will. Particularly in this life. All I know is what the Bible says. I'm reading the Bible just to know Jesus. That's it. There's no other reason. I'm reading it because God said to read it and that I would know Jesus. That's eternal life, is to know the Son and to know the Father and to know the Holy Spirit. Because they have life in themselves. I don't have life in myself. And God does not explain everything. So you're not going to know everything. As a matter of fact, you know very little. You probably don't know nothing. Without Him, you can do nothing. You can know nothing. So I don't know. People ask a lot of questions. The Bible calls them foolish questions. Unlearned questions. Questions that they just, I don't know. People want to know, like, it's really stupid stuff. About the end times and all that. But you don't know all that. You have to give that a count. How do you know what time it is? I don't know. We can know a season because we see signs and we see signs of the end times. But that's it. We don't know all the little details and stuff like that because the Bible doesn't give us all that information. It just tells us certain things. And we just take it by faith. Sometimes I read the book of Revelation like I'm reading it right now because it's, that's where I'm at in my reading. And I don't understand it all. But I'm going to read it anyway. But I'll just ask God, if you want to show me this, what this means, you know, this, the fifth seal, the sixth seal, the seventh seal, all these seals and all these trumpets and all that stuff, I don't even understand. I don't know. I know one thing, though. I've escaped the wrath of God. Because the Bible says that hundreds of times. I don't know if it's hundreds, but it's a lot of times. It'll say you escape the wrath of God through Jesus Christ. So I know it's good. I always know that whatever I read in the Bible, it's going to turn out for my good, because all things work together for good. Now listen to this. Okay, we just read that, verse 6, 7, 8. Now go to 18. And Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine," this is John chapter 7. "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." So Jesus always spoke with authority because he knew who he was. He knew everything. He knew he came from the Father. Jesus had life in himself. You do not have life in yourself. Your life is totally dependent on Jesus, God being alive, God speaking. If God stopped speaking, then this whole thing would just disappear. Everything's held together by Jesus Christ, that's what the Bible says. So everything's held together by the Son and by the Father and by the Holy Ghost. You can't separate them. They're one. We have one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they always agree. They never disagree. They never fight or, "Hey, I don't think we ought to do this." There's no discussion. There's no counsel. There's no, board meeting or anything like that. It's just whatever they say, that's God. That's just the way it works out. And that's how we are too. That's why we speak with authority, because we know the Bible, so we can speak with authority. And Jesus spoke with authority. Doctrine is not something to be a scholar. All doctrine means is a teaching. So Jesus taught not like the Pharisees taught. Even the Pharisees knew this, and the Sadducees and the lawyers and the Sanhedrin all knew that Jesus spoke with authority because he knew who he was. He knew his Father. He knew the Holy Spirit. So Jesus could just say a word. And he'd say a parable or something. But everything he said was with authority. And they knew it. And he could even prove it. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He healed, and even the apostles did that. And even we do that. You speak a word, and it's just by a word. You don't even know how it works. I don't even know how it works. I don't. The Bible says, for instance, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So I just do it. I don't have a doctrine on it, or I don't try to figure it out. I just do it. It's not up to me for the result. It's up to God. I can't fake my faith or try to, if I pray harder, if I yell, or if I do something, it'll make it work. It doesn't work that way. It's just however God says to do it, that's how you do it. Jesus, sometimes he would put dirt in people's eyes and spit on them or something, do all kinds of crazy things, and they would be healed. Or go wash in the pool, or sometimes he would just say a word. Oh, he's healed. And then the guy would go home and his boy's healed. It's like, wow. So Jesus just did whatever the Father said to do. That's what Jesus did. Because he had faith. He knew that he would be dead, that they would kill him. Because he knew the world hated him. And the world hates you too, he said. So do they want to kill you? Yes. But they might not even know that. But the world wants to kill us. There's even some of the, I've actually listened to some of the media, and if Christians could just be eliminated from this society, then this world would be a way better place. So, that's what they want, because they want to make a utopia, something on this earth that they created without God. But that's, God's up in the heavens laughing, because it's not going to happen. It'll never happen. It will never happen. Even the Antichrist will not have everything. He can't, because he's not God. He just says he's God. He's anti-Christ. He's like Christ. He wants to be. He says he is, but he's not. He's a liar. And it's easy. It'll be easy for us to discern that and to tell that because we know, because we read our Bible and we have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit bears witness with God that I'm a child of God. So I can't be, so every time I hear somebody, even when I first became a Christian, all these people would come to me. It was really interesting. It was just the devil, of course, but it was when I first got saved, just a young Christian, didn't know anything about the Bible or anything, but I think every cult known to mankind came to my door. Even when I was at work sometimes, it's like the UPS driver would come and drop off stuff, and then they'd be a Jehovah's Witness or a local church or some kind of something. And they're all witnessing to me. But I knew, because I was already a child of God. So if I bore witness. So if they weren't Jesus people, I knew. Nah, it's Jesus. Jesus saved me. He loves me. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to work. I've already grew up a Catholic. I already know what all that's about. But I don't have to do anything. I don't have to join your cult because you don't even believe in that Jesus is God. He's God. I knew he was. And so you have the Holy Ghost that bears witness. You have the Word of God. You have fellowship with other believers. Yesterday I went to a men's breakfast. It was kind of a spur of the moment thing, and some of the guys at church all got together, and it was encouraging. It was great. We all ate breakfast together, and all the conversation was just about the Lord, what God was doing. And then afterwards, we came outside and we witnessed to this guy and prayed with him, and it's just glorious. It's just awesome. But it's that's how we have fellowship with one another, because we all have fellowship with Jesus Christ. So you can have fellowship with one another. And it's encouraging to be around believers. That's why the Bible says, do not forsake the assembly of yourself together, as is a habit of some, because then you're discouraged if you're by yourself. And that's just the way God did it. I just take it by faith. So I believe that we should always meet. Whenever you have an opportunity to meet, then you meet. And it doesn't matter if you're going to breakfast or you're having Sunday morning church or Sunday evening church or house church. We have a house church on Wednesday nights at our house. And I always look forward to it. And then we have the other meetings. And it's encouraging. Because then you hear somebody say something, you go, oh, yeah, God told me that same thing, man. And you're encouraged, because even though God told you that, he told somebody else. So it just confirms, you know, what God told you. So it's awesome. I mean, it's neat. Amen. And that's how you grow. You can't grow just at home by yourself. You have to have other people. Iron sharpens iron. It's just the way it is. I just do it by faith. I just come to church. I don't even think about it. I don't say, oh, I don't have time, or I'm too busy, or I don't feel like going today because I'm too tired. I just go. I just feel like, you know, I should go. I don't know. I'm not like legalistic about it. I just, you know, if somebody's dying or something, I'll stay home. But, you know, I just go. I just do it because the Bible says to do it. Okay, 18. Did I read 17? Yeah, no. Okay, my doctrine is not mine, verse 16, but it's him that sent me. So our doctrine is not our own. When I teach, when Pastor Jim teaches, when anybody teaches, it should be, you're not teaching your own teaching. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. That's how you can tell. If somebody's seeking their own glory, you can tell. When you hear somebody speak, are they manipulating you to get money? And people do. I mean, you know, it's just, even the Bible says they do that. They do it for filthy lucre and all that kind of stuff. But if you're an elder, if you're a pastor, you cannot do it for that. You cannot, like, all the elders in our church don't get paid. None of us get paid, which is okay. We all have our own jobs and businesses and stuff. And you just got to do it out of because God called you to do it, and you don't even think about it or think that it's awesome or anything like that. Like I never, when I meet people, I don't ever say I'm a pastor at Emmanuel or something like that. I just say, well, you know, I don't even introduce myself like that or anything, because I don't even think it's anything. I mean, it's something, but it's nothing really. I'm just a regular person, just like everybody else. Pastor Jim, I've known Pastor Jim for 25 years. He's just a regular guy. I mean, people think he's awesome. I know people worship him, and some people hate his guts. That's just the way it is. I'm sure they do me too. But it's because you're just a regular person, and if God's called you, then you just do it. But you're still just, you sin like everybody else. You have the same, you know, Jim's married. He has kids, and his kids have problems, and you got to pray through stuff, and it's just normal stuff. And even though we're spiritual, and we love God, and you do too, we all do, we're all the same. God's no respecter of person. That means he does not regard the face of a man. He's not interested in your face and how you look and how you feel, what you think. He's not interested in that. Because what you feel, what you think is worthless. This is vanity. Man at his best is altogether. Man is like unto vanity. That's what the Bible says. So we're just vain. And everything that we do that's good comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from heaven. It doesn't come from you. Doesn't come from this earth. That's why the earth is passing away, because there's nothing good here. The world can give you nothing. Even if you traveled the world, saw Paris and France, and I've been to a few places, Africa and Victoria Falls, which is pretty awesome. But still, I looked at it and then we left. I'm not saying it wasn't cool or anything. It wasn't awesome, because God is awesome and he created an awesome world. But still, you know, it's nothing. This is vanity of vanities. It's just, you know, I saw it and then I left, and that's it. I don't even think I took a picture of it. I should have took a picture. No. Anyway, so this world is passing away in the lust thereof, and the only thing that's going to remain is the Word of God. And because the Word's going to remain, you'll remain. Because you were born from above. You're born again by the Word of God. By that word, you are born again. Because God said it. Only because God spoke it. Raul, you're one of my children. You're a beloved of the Lord. He's part of the bride. So God's going to marry him. That's because of the word says. God can't go against his word. Whatever God says in the Bible, that's it. It's done. Doesn't matter if you understand it or you can see it. It's a done deal. Because this word is eternal. This word will never change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never, ever pass away. Never. So everything you see today will be gone tomorrow. Here soon, you'll wonder what happened. You know, what happened to all those wicked people? They're all gone. I mean, it's just all gone. And we even know, that's what the Bible says. It says we'll wonder. We'll go, wow, God's awesome. Whatever happened to those people? Remember, I can't remember them. So the wicked will be gone, and all there will be left is the righteous. The righteous will shine forth, and that'll be it. And we'll be with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. We'll tabernacle. God will himself will tabernacle with us. And we'll see it. It won't just be like faith. There won't be any more faith. There won't be any more hope. Because you'll see him as he is, and you'll be just like him. All there will be is love. The greatest of these is love. So the greatest of the faith, hope, and love, the greatest is love. But love still, and even faith works by love, the Bible says. But you can't measure love or know what it is or how to figure it out. You just can't. It's just by faith. We still live by faith. And the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. So love is of God. It says in 1 John. Love is God. God is love. But you can't. You love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But you can't see that. You can experience sometimes, because God always gives you a down payment. If something's in heaven, he will give you a down payment here on earth. When you buy a house, you put, what is it called, Lynn? You put some kind of money down.
Earnest.
But we have the earnest of the Spirit. So that we know that, because we have that earnest, Jesus already paid the down payment, gave us the earnest of the Spirit, so we're already in heaven. We already got it. It's already purchased. It's already done. And so when we tabernacle with the Lord, when he comes back, we'll forever be with the Lord. We'll marry him, and we will be a house, a habitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't understand that. I can't picture that. I'm a brick or whatever in his house, and God, I mean, I can't even comprehend heaven. I can't even think about it, because I don't, and I know people have gone to heaven, I guess, when they died. I don't know about that, because it's not in the Bible, but maybe they did. I don't know. But I'm just saying, I don't know. All I know is it'll be better than you can ask or think. Everything's better than you can ask. Everything right now in your life is better than you know. You think, because all you can see is your problems. Your work problems, your family problems, your kid problems, your physical problems. But everything's better than you think. It's always better. Way better. Because when you pray, God always does beyond what you can ask or think. But you don't see it. But you do see it by faith. But you don't see it. So your life is way better. Way. I mean, you have eternal life, for one thing. But everything's better than you think. It might be a lot worse than you think, too, but that's just the devil. That's just his thing. But everything's better. Even this world, things are going way better than you think. I drive down the road sometimes when I'm going to work, because I work all over the Metroplex, so I drive all over. But I just can't believe it, that we're still, I can't believe I'm still as free as I am. I mean, I can worship in my car, I can meet with people, I can do all kinds of stuff. And I can't believe, I'm just thank God. I'm just like, wow, God, I can't believe it. Even though things are bad, I know all the bad stuff. I'm not stupid. But things are better than you think. Because the wicked, you see today, you'll see them no more. The Egyptians. And I never go to, and don't, because everybody wants to be counseled by the world, even Christians. But the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 30 that woe to those who go to Egypt for counsel. That's a type of the world. When you go to the world for counsel, when you go to the world for help, then God will let you, then you'll get what they got. Because you just, you know. But if you go to God first and ask him, then he can direct you and guide you, and you get counsel from the Lord. Remember in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, but particularly in the Old Testament, it really just kind of spells it out. Whenever Israel counseled with the Lord, he would tell them what to do in the battle. And it was always different. Remember, he'd tell them to march around seven times and toot your horn, and boom, and the walls fell down, and then one time he said, "Go, you guys go over here, you guys go over here and do this and do that." And he gave him good counsel how to defeat the enemy. Because you don't know how to defeat the enemy. The enemy's too strong, too powerful, too big. It's just too big. It's huge. It's a huge worldwide thing. And you cannot do anything to help it or to change it or to... You can't do anything. You pray, ask God, but you can't do anything unless God gives you something to do. There's nothing you can do to change it. You can vote. I voted. I did all the things I thought I was supposed to do. But then I told God, I go, God, it's in your hands. You know, I don't know anything. You can't help it. It doesn't matter how many posts you do on Facebook. You're not going to change anybody's mind. I noticed that because my wife's on Facebook and my kids are. Mostly just for the family stuff, but sometimes my people will post things and then somebody will post something the opposite, but they never, ever agree. And they'll never change their mind, unless God does. So you're not going to help people. You just got to do what God tells you to do, and that's it. You don't have to be great or wonderful or awesome, because you're not. Only God is great and wonderful and awesome. So, Jesus only spoke what the Father said to speak. Okay. And I wanted to read just a little bit out of 1 Corinthians. But the main thing I wanted to get out of that was that if you read 1 and 2 Timothy doctrine, Paul told Timothy, he said, take heed to your doctrine, Timothy, because you will save yourself and those who listen to you. He wasn't talking about being born again. He's talking about every day is a day of salvation. Every day. Because you're being saved. You are saved. You are being saved. And you will be saved. It's just a process. It's not that difficult to understand. But you are a Christian because you're born again. You're born from above. That's the foundation of your life. That's the foundation of my life. It's the foundation of your life. But then that foundation, you build upon that foundation, either wood, hay, or stubble, or precious stones. So the way you build on that house is very important. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So your house, whose house you are, because you're a house of the Holy Spirit, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, let God build that house. He'd do a way better job than you. He's the one that disciples you. He's the one that kills your flesh. He's the one that you die daily. He does that. You don't have to do it. You can't help him out. I don't know if you guys have ever, all of us have, struggled with a sin or something. You just can't help it. You can't help God. You can't not do it. I don't even know how to explain it. You know what I mean. So you have to just give it to God. Confess it easily, readily, because it says come boldly to the throne of grace, because God loves you. God loves me so much that he will never count my sin against me. So if he's not going to count it against me, then I can easily tell him everything. I can pour out my heart to the Lord. I can put all my garbage, all my evil things that I think, do, and say, and he doesn't even condemn me. There's no condemnation. So I'm just saying, God, but God, I can't. I know you want me to get rid of this, but I can't. I have no ability. I have no something inside of me that can do it. I have nothing. I got no strength. I got no nothing. So he has to do it. So then he does it because I'm weak. And in that moment, I'm as weak as I could possibly be because I cannot help myself. And you can't help yourself either. You can never help yourself. Don't ever help yourself. If you help yourself, then you'll get what you get, which is nothing, which is stupid, which is vanity. But if God's your helper, if God is your God, you're not your God, God's your God, then he does all things. He'll give you everything, will be a gift then. You won't have to work for it. His yoke is easy as burnt. Everything in this world is a yoke of bondage. Every denomination, I don't care if it's Baptists all the way to cults, Mormons, Catholics, everybody wants, because it's all man-made. So everybody wants to put a yoke on you. The world right now, big time, is trying to put a yoke on you, a yoke of bondage. The elements, the Bible calls it the elements of this world. Lawlessness is not absence of laws. Lawlessness is tons of laws. But it's lawless because it's not God's law. God didn't do that. But the world wants to put all these laws and elements on you to control you so that you'll be theirs. The Jews did the same thing. The Catholics did the same thing. Baptists, every Methodist, they all do the same thing. They want to put a yoke on you, sign this paper, do this, do that. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why? Because he does everything. That's why his yoke is easy. He has an easy, easy, easy yoke. My commandments are not
burdensome.
Why? Because he does them. If he does them, then you're not doing them. He's doing them. Okay. So in first, I read this a lot in the book of Galatians also. But I read first because this really blesses me because this describes my life. It describes your life. Let's start in verse 18. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's really good, even the first But just for the sake of time, I just want to read verse 18. Because there's always death. It's interesting that, well, you know, we just said the Apostles' Creed. Jesus was born to die, to resurrect. Oh, that's your life. He lived your life for you. That's your life too. So, I was born, you were born, physically, biologically born, to die, to be resurrected, to ascend on high with Jesus Christ. So, if you don't die, if you only die once, then that's not good. Biologically, I'm talking about. But we're already dead. I'm already dead. The day I got saved, I died. My life was over. And I knew it. Even as a pagan, as a wicked person, I knew that. I knew as soon as I give my life to the Lord, this is going to be different. Because I could just imagine my parents. I come from a pretty large family. My four brothers and sisters. My cousin grew up with us too in our house. And we had a pretty big family. Tons of cousins. But they're all Catholic. And I know as soon as I get saved that there's going to be a problem. Because I was popular in my family and stuff, so I knew it was going to be a problem. And it was. I got letters, books sent to me, the priest came to see me, everything, trying to talk me out of this born-again experience. But I was determined. No, it's in the Bible. I will not, kind of like Luther, I will not recant. So I didn't. And it turned out good because my family loves me, and it turned out good eventually. But for a while there, it was bad. All my friends left. I told you guys my testimony before, but all my friends left. My girlfriend broke up with me. Everything. I lost everything. But it was okay. At the time, it was hurt a little bit, but it wasn't that big of a deal. It was like, but it all worked out for good. God just did above and beyond what I could even ask or think. Way beyond. Now I'm married 35 years. We just had our 35 years anniversary.
Wow.
And I have 6 kids and 8, 9 grandchildren now. So I got 9 grandchildren and counting. I think my boys aren't even married yet. When they get married, there's going to be a lot of babies. So it'll be awesome. I'm going to try to beat my mom's dad. My mom and dad have 28 grandchildren, and I'm going to beat their record.
Wow.
So, but I can't do anything about it. It's my faith. I can't do anything about it. Because Leah's not going to have any more babies. My wife is probably not have any more babies. Well, she won't have any more babies. Although we did have one when she was 47. It's kind of old. I guess that's old. Okay. Now, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but to us which are saved is the power of God. So everything we are was because Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead. He rose again for our justification. So as soon as Jesus rose from the dead, you were justified. Because he did everything. He accomplished everything. In Revelations, it says that Jesus washed us in his own blood and that we are kings and priests to God. He didn't do anything. So you're a king. So Lynn, you're a king and a priest.
Awesome.
Doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. You're a king and a priest. So, but you didn't do that. You didn't, you didn't go to school for it or pay money to do it, or you didn't do anything. It is God just gave it to you as a gift. That's how God is. He knows that Raul would never earn a wage, so he had to just give it to him for free. He knew I would never earn a wage. I could never pay God or make a sacrifice or do something awesome. I could never do that. So God just had to do it for free. Because, since those people can do nothing, I'm just going to have to give them everything for free. And it's just by faith. So that's how we live. So, that's foolishness to this world. I'm telling you, it's foolishness. God is a fool. That's what they think. To save somebody like me. Why? I wasn't even worthy of nothing. I wasn't worthy to be loved or saved or anything. He did it for nothing. That's funny to me. Because it says, yeah, for a good man, someone might dare to die, but God commended his love towards us and that we were yet sinners. He died for us. So we were yet at our very worst, which I was. It just happened to work out that way because I was 25 years old and I just was totally burned out already on life because I partied and did all crazy stuff. So how could God love me? Well, he did, and he saved me, and I can't even believe it. To this day, I'm still so thankful. Every day I'm going, God, your mercies are, you're so merciful and kind, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. The only reason why this world still exists right now is because God's merciful. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He takes his time. I know we hate that, and I hate it too. My flesh does. He takes his time. Everything's so, he just doesn't. It's so, like even in my finances sometimes, because I have my own business, so I have to wait on checks sometimes to come, because I invoice things, and then, you know, people just don't want to pay you. But so it takes a long time sometimes. But in the meantime, you know, things are getting pretty, you know. I have mortgage to pay. I got kids, you know. They got school. I'm paying for my daughter's college and stuff. So I got a lot of bills. And then, you know. So this last one that came was 2 weeks late. And it's a lot of money, but it's 2 weeks late. And I prayed way before that God would work things, you know, that I would get my check, but I didn't get it for 2 weeks later. But it all worked out good. I mean, it all worked out perfect. But while you're waiting and bills are getting late and people are calling, I mean, it's just, you know, you're like, God, you should have, you know, this check should have been here 2 weeks ago. That's just what God does, because he wants you to trust him. And it all worked out. It all worked out perfect. I didn't have to pay any late fee. I mean, I didn't do anything. It worked out perfect, so it wasn't bad. But I'm just like, that's just the way God is. He seems like he always comes right in the nick of time. And with Brendan, my grandson who's in the hospital, because he was born, like I was telling you before, I don't know, you remember, Len, he was born like in August, and he wasn't due till December. So that's early. He was born really early. But he made it. I mean, the doctors are so surprised how well he's doing. And he's barely even on any kind of support right now. And he weighs over 7 pounds, almost 8 pounds.
Wow.
So he went from under 2 pounds to 8 pounds. And now he's going to make it. I mean, he's doing great. He's thriving. And he's going to be home before New Year's, which is pretty soon. I think his due date is next week. So he's just catching up with his due date. So anyway, but those are things that you just pray, you go, man, it's a miracle. But it was like, it was so neat because every stage of this process he went through, everybody prayed. I mean, it was like, oh, he's got a hole in his heart, we gotta pray, and then that would be solved. And every problem that came up, people prayed and it was resolved. Even the doctors were amazed how well he did. They, as a matter of fact, when he was born, they couldn't believe how much he weighed. They couldn't believe he weighed 2 pounds. They were shocked because he was only 25 weeks, whatever, I don't know what that was, 20-something weeks, so he was really young. So anyway, God just kept doing miracle after miracle. And even though I know they did the oxygen and all that stuff, but still, I still give the glory to God because God is good. Even if he didn't have all that stuff, Leah's grandfather was born. He weighed 1.5 pounds when he was born. This is back in
what?
1900 or something. He lived. He lived to be 95 years old. And he was a principal at a school, and he was awesome. But for back then, all they did was they put some kind of something around. The mom put something around our waist and kept him right here. And just, they fed him out with a rag. They just would dip it in milk and drip it in his mouth or something, and he lived. So, you know, God can do anything. If he wants you to live, you're going to live. When it's your time to die, then you'll die. That's what I believe. Because the Bible says there's a time for everything. Time to live, time to die, time to sow, time to reap, time for everything. So, the only thing that we're all interested in right now with this COVID and Black Lives Matter and all these things that are going on in the world is what time is it? I ask God that he never tells me, but I would like to know, God, what time is it? I don't care about all the details. I just want to know, what time is it? Is it time for this to happen? Or is it time, or are you going to give us some more time? That's all I want to know. I don't care about the details like the Antichrist and all that stuff. I just want to know, what time is it, God? Just so I can, you know, tell everybody, and then I could also know what to do or whatever. But, you know, God just told me, well, whatever time it is to do this, just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep preaching, keep reading your Bible, keep loving your family, keep doing all things. And we haven't missed a beat. Since this whole thing started, I just kept doing the exact same thing we're always doing. Yesterday we had a huge gathering at our house, probably more than the government would allow. I don't know. Is there a rule? I don't even know if there's a rule. Anyway, all these people care because we had the baby shower for Brendan. And man, the house was all decorated. Leah had all the house decorated and the kids. And some of them even spent the night because we have a lot of kids, a lot of grandkids. So they were all there and it was, you know, a madhouse. But they made me leave because, you know, it was all the ladies and the kids. So they didn't want me to be around. But anyway, it's just neat. Life goes on. You just got to do it by faith. Just got to keep going on and doing what you're supposed to do, and don't worry about it. If you have to wear a mask, okay, but don't worry about it. God is good. Okay, and so for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, the word wisdom of the wise means the conceit of the wise. Because wise people are conceited. They're prideful. They're wicked. Because they know stuff. And they're really prideful about it. And I'm sure that's something that Paul, the Apostle Paul, guy had a thorn in his flesh. I'm sure he said because of these great, unbelievable revelations. Because, you know, he did have some pretty awesome revelations in Romans and all the book, you know, in Galatians and Colossians and Philippians. That guy had a lot of revelation. Some stuff he couldn't even talk about. But so God gave him a thorn because he was prideful. At least he even said it himself, "At least I be lifted up in pride." And people are very proud. I'm proud. That's the biggest sin in the world is idolatry. Which is yourself. People idolize themselves. Everything's about me, what I can get, what I, you know. So people are selfish and wicked because they love themselves. They don't love their neighbor as themselves. They love themselves and they hate their neighbor and they want their neighbor to worship them. Yeah, we all want that. That's part of our nature, our human nature. Is to want worship, to glory. And that's what this whole chapter is about. And at the end, I'll just go ahead and read the end. You can read the whole thing, but it says in the last verse says, that according to as is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You just want some glory. And you can't escape it. I tell the Lord every day, I go, God, I did that, but man, I still wanted a little bit of something out of it. $1 or $2 or somebody to say, man, you did a great job, or wow, that was awesome, or you know, whatever. You know, we all want that. And it's hard to die to that. It's impossible. You cannot even do it. You just have to go to God every day. Yeah, you know, and then you just tell him. And he takes care of it. God has a way of humbling us. And He does it. I remember when I became a Christian, God just worked this out as a miracle. I was going to this church, and I actually lived at the church. Me and a friend of mine, Larry, you might know him. He goes to the Fort Worth church, but I've known him since college. He lives right next door to me, which is kind of amazing. But he and I lived at the church. You know, and I was awesome. I had a great job, and I had, you know, this is before I got saved. I had a girlfriend. Everything was going well, except I was, you know, totally miserable because I didn't know Jesus. That was my problem. I had nightmares and stuff. But anyway, so I got saved, and then I went to church. So, being a Catholic, a good Catholic boy, I'm going to get rid of everything. I'm going to give all my stuff to the poor, and I'm going to have nothing. So that's what I did. I gave everything. My bicycle. I had a really nice Trek 10-speed touring bike. It was awesome. About $1,200 bike back then. That was back in the 80s. But anyway, I had all this stuff, and I gave it all away. And I lived at the church, and I quit my job, and I worked at the church for, I think I made, I don't know, $5 an hour or something. I can't remember what I was making. I went from making a lot of money to nothing. And plus, there was a high school there. And I was basic, and Leah always laughs and says, no, that's not true, but it is true. I was basically the janitor. And it was embarrassing to me. Because I'm a janitor, you know, I went from being awesome to being a janitor. And all these high school kids are looking at you like, oh, there's that loser. But anyway, it was humbling. And God has a way of destroying all of our awesomeness. And He did in college, too. When I was in high school, I was the top athlete. I dated the head cheerleader. I was the most popular kid. This is high school. And then I went to college. Nobody knew me. I was like a nothing. I was nothing. So I went from being something to nothing, like instantly. My mom and dad dropped me off at college, and I was like, I don't know anybody. Nobody knows me. I'm nothing. So God has a way of reducing you down to nothing. And then you have nothing. That's how I got saved. I was reduced to nothing.
I love it.
And so, I mean, what are you going to do? I'm not going to make it in this world. I'm not going to make it. I just knew that. I knew that I would die or something. I would do I'll drink too many beers or something would happen and I was going to die. And I'd go to hell. But God saved me and He had mercy on me. But I had to become nothing. And I do that every day. You have to do that every day. Every day you become nothing. If a man thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That's the big number one deception in the whole world, is people think they're something. They think they're God. Seven ways to improve yourself or something like that. But people want to be awesome. Women want to be awesome. I can see it the way they do their makeup and get stuff and all that. I'm not saying nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying we're all in competition or something to be perfect and to be awesome. But it's nothing. That is vanity of vanities. All is vanity. We're just deceived. It's all it is. It's just deception. So the whole world, the Bible says the whole world is deceived. So why are we so surprised that all this stuff is going on in the world right now? I'm not surprised at all. It's just going to get worse because people are deceived and they're being deceived. That's what the Bible says. They're deceived and they're being deceived. So people believe a lie. Everybody believes a lie. Everybody in the whole world, except for us. We believe the Word of God. That's why you have to read this Word every day. Otherwise, you'll be deceived. Because God's going to send the world, and He already has, a strong delusion. Strong. That means they're going to be deceived. And they are. They only believe lies. If you tell somebody a fact or a statistic or something, they don't care. They're just emotional. They're just going to believe what they believe, and you cannot change their mind. Even with You know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Candace Owens. I just got done reading her book. And she's really a brilliant, just really, I just like her. I don't know, there's something about her I like. And Rick Green, too. But they have all these facts, and they know the Constitution, and they're just awesome people. But then when I listen to them debate or talk to people, the people they're debating, what do you mean to me? I mean, I don't even get it. I'm just like, they don't even care about facts or truth or anything. They just love a lie. They love it. I know it sounds weird, and we don't, but we love the truth. If you love the truth will set you free, and that's Jesus. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. If you have that, you've got everything. And then you can easily know that somebody's lying. In the world, all they do is lie. They lie about medical stuff. They lie about everything. Because they got an agenda. And it's to put a yoke on you, a yoke of bondage. That's all it is. So that the whole society, Christians, everybody, they want them all to be under a yoke. Why? It's just because they want power and they want money. Power and money. Particularly money. But they like power too. But people love money. I've worked for two extremely rich people in my since I've been a Christian. The people that basically own Fort Worth, the Basses, and I worked for another couple of guys that lived in Dallas, and they were some of them were billionaires, some of them were millionaires, multimillionaires. But they love money, and they love stuff, and they love power. One guy, it was so funny, it was just like the Bob. It was so awesome. I loved it. He had all this stuff, so he built buildings on this property to put his stuff in. And Jesus, remember the parable about the guy? I just thought, this is awesome. This is like the living example of... And it was just junk. To me, it was just junk, but it was stuff. It was antiques and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, he built these buildings to put his stuff. And then he had more stuff. And then now he's dying because he's like 80-something years old. He's got health problems and stuff like that. So now he's got to sell all that stuff. So it was all in vain. It was like nothing. It was a waste of time. And they consumed him. They had to get security. They had to work 24/7 to keep all their stuff. And then they had a house in Preston Hollow that was worth like $3.5 million. And it was crazy. And I thought to myself, I go, gosh, I would hate to be like that, to be that rich where that just consumed me like that, where I couldn't even think. I mean, that's all I could think about was this stuff. But that's the world. That's all they got. All their glory, all their stuff is just in this world. So whatever reward they get in this world for doing a good deed or something, it's just in this world. It's not eternal. For us, it's all eternity. Because we'll inherit all things, but we don't care about that. We just want to inherit Jesus. We just want the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's it. And that's all you. That's actually what you'll inherit. That's actually your inheritance is actually God Himself. But He freely gives you all things. Even in this life, like I was telling Lynn about the down payment, the earnest. You have an earnest, so everything that God did for me after I became a Christian, He did it. There's no way I could do it. No way I could have got married. I'm just telling you, you guys didn't know me before I got married, but there's no way. And I could have kids. What a miracle that I could do that I could even raise a halfway decent human being, which is scary. You know, when you have kids, you're like, whoa. And it's a miracle. And I married my wife is awesome. And that was a miracle too. Because I didn't know how to pick a wife. How would I know how to pick a wife? I didn't know how to do that. As a matter of fact, when I became a Christian, I didn't even look at a girl or go on a date or anything for 2 years until I met my wife. And then God said, that's who you're going to marry. And I said, okay. But I didn't even know her. But it worked out. God worked it out because He's awesome. So anyway, I didn't know anything. And it all worked out good. Because if God gives you something, with Jesus Christ, you freely get all things. So you don't have to worry about anything. Your finances, You don't have to worry about your health. You don't have to, I mean, I know we worry about it, but you don't have to. It's everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts. So you don't have to worry about anything. Even if you died from whatever, if you have an ailment or something, it would work out good. It would. It sounds bad, but it's not. So everything works together for your good. All right, well, anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that Jesus Christ said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, then you have eternal life. And that's about what we're about ready to do, Lord. We're about ready to partake of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, that you forgive us, everyone in this room, but we forgive all of our sins. We are washed in your blood from all sins, white as snow. And we thank you for that. And we thank you, Father, that your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross, but he rose again from the dead. He's the first to rise from the dead. And after that, all of us in our own order are resurrected to life everlasting. So we just remember that, his death. We preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, his death, his burial, his resurrection. We remember that by taking this cup, the cup of the everlasting cup. And by faith in Jesus Christ, you're present here with us to heal,
yes,
to forgive, to sanctify, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we take this cup and this bread, this body of Jesus Christ, this blood of the everlasting covenant, we take it by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So let's take the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. His body was broken so that we might have... Oh, I was opening the wrong thing. So we might have life and have life abundantly. Let's take of the body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And on the night he was betrayed, he took the blood, he took the cup, and he said, "This is not just a covenant of this world, this is an everlasting covenant. A new testament, a new, even though it was old, to us it was new, that because Jesus was slain from the foundations of the world. But we thank you that this cup represents a new covenant, a blood covenant. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But we thank you that Jesus Christ shed his blood, a perfect sacrifice. That Jesus Christ is a priest perpetually. It means it never ends. He's just like Melchizedek. He's not like Aaron and his descendants who lived and then they died and their priesthood was over. Because it was just earthly. It was just a type, a shadow of heavenly things to come. So we thank you, Father, that this cup that we take now is an everlasting covenant. It's now, and it's also for eternity. It's never ending. And so we thank you for that, and we just receive this cup now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for this is a great day. This is the best day of our lives because it's a day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Jesus said the same thing when he was going on the cross. He knew that it was a great day. It was a day he would purchase salvation for every man, for the whole world, not just Christians, not just religious, the Jews, but for the whole world. And thank you, Father, that we have faith in that. Thank you that we love you, Lord, with all of our might, soul, strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Amen. All right, God is good.